For our scripture reading this evening, let us turn to the last book of the scriptures, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And we read verses 6 through 21. Revelation 22, verse 6 through the end of this chapter. And there we read God's holy word, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So far the reading of the Word of God. Tonight we want to study the meaning of the last word of the Lord's Prayer, which is the word Amen. Therefore, let us read question and answer 129 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 87. What does the word Amen signify? Amen signifies, it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God then I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. Beloved congregation, tonight we are studying a small word of only four letters. Amen. Children, that is a very small word. A-M-E-N. It's easy to spell, easy to say. It's maybe one of the first words you babbled when you learn to speak, Amen or Amen. It's the last word we want to study now that we are about to finish our study of the key doctrines of Scripture with the Heidelberg Catechism as our guide. It's the last word of the Lord's Prayer. It's also the last word of Scripture. And that is a word that is often used. What is the meaning of this little word, Amen? This Hebrew word is derived from a word which means security, truth. And therefore the explanation given by the Heidelberg Catechism is fully biblical, which we read in answer 129, Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. The answer in the Catechism expresses certainty and faithfulness. That is not the same when we say that Amen means let it be so. Then we say that we hope and pray that it will be. Then prayer ends, as it were, in a petition itself. Then we say, all we have prayed, Lord, let it be so. That's not what the Heidelberg Catechism says. No, let it be so, but not let it be so, but it will be so. It expresses certainty. And that's the appropriate ending of every prayer. And yet we must admit that the word Amen has several aspects and is meant to be used under different circumstances. Depending on the context, we should discern the particular meaning of the word Amen. Amen can mean, let it be so. Then it is used as an expression involving ourselves. The word Amen is sometimes used in Scripture as an act of self-commitment. In those situations, Amen is an appropriate response to a certain promise or threat. Let it be so. Let me mention a few examples. Recall the story which is recorded in Deuteronomy 27, verse 14 through 26. The people of Israel had arrived at the borders of the Promised Land after 40 years of journeying through the wilderness. And one more time, Moses teaches the law of God and admonishes the people to live in accordance to God's holy word. They must set up for themselves large stones and wash them white with lime. And then they must write upon them all the words of the law. One more time, Moses gave all the laws and statutes as recorded in the book of Deuteronomy before he dies. And after they crossed the Jordan, some of the 12 tribes had to stand on Mount Gerizim and the other tribes on Mount Ebal. And the people were to hear blessings from the Mount Gerizim and curses from Mount Ebal. And via his servant, God confirms the blessings and the curses of the covenant to his people. They must commit themselves to God's law. They must agree to God's curse by answering with the word, Amen. Let it be so. And so it happened. Some tribes were standing on Mount Ebal. The priests were pronouncing the curses, and the people answered till the last curse was pronounced. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Let it be so. The people of Israel acknowledged the curse of the covenant. This meaning of the word Amen is also applicable to the story where David gives instruction to his men as to what needs to be done to have Solomon become his successor. The servants must have Solomon ride on David's own mule and take him down to Gihon. And there the priest and prophet must anoint him king over Israel. They must blow the trumpet, the horn, and say, God save King Solomon. And then they have to go back to Jerusalem, where he was to sit upon David's throne. And then we read this in 1 Kings 1 verse 36, that Benaiah, David's guard, exclaimed, Amen. With other words, let it be so. And then he continues, the Lord God of my Lord, the King, say so too. Benaiah wholeheartedly commits himself to David's plan. He will do all he can to get David's plan executed successfully. Amen. Meaning agreement and commitment. And in this way, the word Amen is used throughout the ages in the liturgy of the church. In the Roman Catholic tradition, the hearers answer the words spoken by the priest with Amen. The meaning of the word Amen is worn out in many churches. Many times it is understood merely as an expression of agreement. Through the ages, it seems generally to have diminished in value and now functions simply as a marker of a conclusion. And yet the word Amen should, as a minimum, imply a commitment in our prayer to also live in such a way as to further the fulfillment of our prayer. This is the first lesson in prayer. When we close our prayer with Amen, we acknowledge our commitment to what we have just prayed for. And yet we should not forget that Amen is not an agreement and commitment to our own words. Amen is a commitment to God's word. It's important to have a clear understanding of this. Amen is a commitment to God's word. When you pray extemporaneously, that is freely, and not reading a prayer, you might consider your Amen to be a confirmation of your own words. Then you interpret the word Amen as a desire that all you have prayed may come true. Let all I prayed be so. And yet that is not the biblical meaning of the word Amen. As we just saw, the response of the recipient of the word answers with Amen, committing himself to the word that was spoken to him. In this way, we should also understand the word Amen in prayer. It's not a confirmation and commitment to our own words, but to God's word. And maybe you find this confusing. You say, when I pray freely, then I pray using my own words. Yes, you do. You lay all your needs before the Lord, the needs related to this lifetime and for your soul. And I hope you remember that in our study on the Lord's Prayer, we also saw that prayer is not only a list of needs laid down before the Lord, but that prayer is worshiping the only true God as well. And what about your Amen? It should not be understood as an agreement to your own words, but of God's word. You should always keep this in mind. The word Amen always refers to God's word, and not to your own words, or the words spoken in prayer by someone else, by a pastor. By saying Amen, you commit yourself to God's word. And that is what we saw in the example I just mentioned. The people of Israel are standing on Mount Ebal. The priests pronounce the law of God, and the people say, Amen. They commit themselves to God's word. And what is the relation to the Lord's Prayer? Well, even when you pray freely, it should not merely be a word from you. We have learned from the Lord's Prayer that we need to pray according to God's Word. If it is well, we are in need of the guidance of the Spirit to pray a God-honoring prayer. That is a prayer according to God's will, according to His Word. And therefore, we close our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. With every petition, we seek to pray according to the will of God. And God's Word should give direction to prayer. And that prayer is concluded with the word, Amen. You close your prayer with a commitment to the Word of God, and in everything you want to be bound to God's Word. That means that you not only seek to pray according to God's Word, but that you also cling to God's Word. Amen means that you believe that the Lord certainly shall fulfill His promises and that the Lord is faithful to His own Word. When you say Amen, you embrace God's Word, you embrace His truth, both God's uncovering and comforting Word, both His curse and His blessing. You say Amen to God's whole revealed counsel. You say of His Word, it shall truly and certainly be, because the Lord is faithful to His own Word. That means that you agree when God's Word points you to your sin and depravity. You believe God's Word is true when it points you to the reality of God's wrath over sin, and you admit, that's what I deserve, and I bow under it. You agree with God's justice and His demands. And you also believe God's truth, which He has revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With Him there is forgiveness. With Him there is peace. With Him there is eternal life. Wholeheartedly, you say Amen to God's Word and His truth. What about you? Do you say Amen to God's Word? Not to some aspects of God's Word, but to His whole counsel. To say Amen means that you bow under His Word, you submit yourself to His Word, and you say Amen when the Lord shows you who you are before Him, a wretched, miserable sinner, unsuitable for the Lord and His service. You also say Amen when the Lord says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You say Amen when the Lord says that there is no salvation apart from Christ, that there is life with Him alone. And according to the Heidelberg Catechism, the word Amen has even a stronger meaning than so let it be. It means it shall truly and certainly be. And that's correct. The strong meaning, as it is mentioned in answer 129, we also find in number 6. That is the well-known Aaronic blessing. It was custom among Jews to say Amen after every blessing that the Aaronic blessing comprises. It was pronounced by the descendants of Aaron. They blessed the attendants of the synagogue. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the people said, Amen. The Lord makes His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the people said, Amen. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And the people said, Amen. And this Amen is not a wish, so let it be. It was an expression of full assurance. So it will be. It shall truly and certainly be. That is a believing Amen to God's truth. And the same we find often at the close of Paul's letters. all he has written is true and according to God's will, it shall truly and certainly be. And in this way, the Lord Jesus has used the word Amen many times, which is translated in our Bible with the word verily. Sometimes we read a doubling up. Then one Amen emphasizes the following Amen. It is more than true and certain. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. His Amen is a firm pleading ground for each one of us. Amen. It will be so. How do you learn this? To say Amen. How can I say Amen in faith, in full assurance? Can you? No, you can't. No, you can't. Has this already become a serious dilemma? The Lord demands a believing Amen. The Lord wants you to believe His word, that you bow under it. That means that you repent from sin, from suspecting God's word, from reasoning with God's word. It means that you believingly say Amen to both His uncovering teaching and His comforting words. To say wholeheartedly Amen is not simply to reason that God's word is true, like you acknowledge history to be true. Amen is not just a word, but demands your whole life. That means that when you, by grace, begin to say Amen to God's word, your life will change. You need a daily repentance, a daily reformation. Like Benaiah, who said Amen to David when he told what needed to be done for Solomon. Likewise, you say Amen to God's word when He says what needs to be done so that His name will be glorified. The Lord says, mortify your indwelling sin. And you say by grace, Amen. Let it be so. The Lord says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. And you say, Amen. That means that it becomes your daily practice. You say Amen when the Lord says, seek my face evermore. And you say Amen when the Lord says, pour out your heart before me. You daily seek to do His will. You say Amen when the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You propose to take refuge in Christ. Why? Because you trust the Lord. Like Calvin said, you keep the Lord to be a man who speaks the truth. And you wholeheartedly agree. You say, thy word is Amen. Thy word shall certainly come to pass. But maybe you are a bit hesitant to say Amen to all God's truths. Not that you consider one of His word to be untrue, but you know there's so much unbelief in your heart. You say, I can't. I wish I could always wholeheartedly say Amen to all God's truth, but I know there's so much resistance in my heart. My daily life shows so often the opposite. May I ask you, how do you deal with this? Does it grieve you that you are so foolish, so stubborn, so insensitive? And you know, only with a broken heart we will learn to say Amen to God's word. But we are inclined to fix ourselves up. And by doing so, we seek truth in our own heart. That's sad indeed. What to do? Well, will you not plead with the Lord? Will you not beseech the Lord? Lord, make me honest. Work with thy spirit in my heart so that thy truth will dwell within me. so that I will have truth in the inward parts. It pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord when we come to Him. How? With our deceitful heart, pleading for a believing heart. The Lord is able and willing to give you such a heart only because He has promised to do so. And will the Lord diminish any of His own words? He who is the way, the truth, and the life. To conclude, prayer with a believing Amen means that we believe God's truth. That means that we cling to God when we pray to Him. We pray with the confidence that the Lord hears our prayer as He has promised to do. The Lord Jesus says, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." There is more reason to trust God hearing our prayer, than to suspect Him. Why? Because God is faithful. Our problem is that we are unfaithful. We are inclined to suspect God. That means that we don't believe all of God's truth. And if we don't believe all of God's truth, then we say that God is a liar. That's a sharp word. Yes, it is. However, every prayer that is not prayed in faith is an insult to God's truth. We so need the powerful working of the Spirit in our hearts so that we will put our trust in the Lord and plead with Him to fulfill His own promises. We are in need of the work of the Spirit, since the word Amen comprises much. To pray without faith makes us guilty. And maybe you wonder, who will have boldness to say the word Amen? Seeing we are always inclined to suspect God's truth, we can only do so only because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not hear a prayer because of our prayer. He will not answer because we pray so well. Our best prayers are stained with sin. We cannot move God to answer our prayers. God can only answer prayer because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His whole life was a testimony of God's truth. His deep way of suffering displayed the truth of God's word. So often we can read in the Gospels that all He did and all He suffered took place that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. All the Lord Jesus did and all He accomplished was a public testimony that God is faithful to His own word. The Lord Jesus went the way of deep suffering. And when He cried to God, when He was in hellish agony, He was not answered. He cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was no voice, nor any answer. So that now all those who cry to the Lord in prayer will be answered. This is the miracle of grace, congregation, and the joy of the gospel that humbles every true believer. God hears for Jesus' sake alone. Who does He hear? People who must confess, I am so difficult. I am so unwilling. I am a fool and slow of heart to believe all that the Lord has revealed in His word. And yet, the Lord is willing to hear me. Since the Lord Jesus has paid my penalty and has merited every blessing. And if you get a sight of Him as the Savior of your personal life, then you can only marvel. What a miracle that the Lord is still willing to answer prayer, that He still inclines His ear to my stammering, that He still fulfills His promises in my life. On your part, you hardly dare to say Amen, since you know that so much unbelief lingers in your heart. But when you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot but conclude your prayer with Amen. Why? Because you learn to rest on His finished work. You learn to lean on Him of whom Scripture says, "For all the promises of God are yea and in Him Amen, unto the glory of God by us." Pay attention to this scripture word. Even before you existed, the promises of God were in Him, yea and amen. That means that God's revelation precedes your prayer. Our amen always follows God's promises. His answering occurs prior to our asking, to our Amen. And for this reason, we read the confident words in the second half of answer 129. "For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel that my heart, in my heart, that I desire these things of Him." In Scripture, there is a difference between the verbs "hear" and "hear." In the Hebrew language, the word "hear" is shama or ana. The first word is consequently translated with "hear," while the latter is translated with either "hear" or "answer." In the Dutch language, this distinction is also clearly translated with the words "horen" and "verhoren." We could say that the word "hear" does not imply the answer per se. Well, an answer implies hearing. And it's good to know that the word "hear," as mentioned in the Heidelberg Catechism, means the hearing which implies answering. My prayer is more assuredly answered of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. The Heidelberg Catechism deals very pastoral with the struggles of believers, namely, that they don't always experience the Lord answering prayer. Or does it not bother you whether the Lord answers your prayer or not? Do you conclude your prayer not waiting till the Lord will answer? Do you never wonder, when will the Lord answer my prayer? If you don't know of an expectant waiting on the Lord, waiting till He has fulfilled His promises in your life, then I'm afraid that you have never really prayed. Because a believing prayer waits on the Lord, expecting Him to answer prayer only for Jesus' sake. A believing amen is not a period, but a comma. After amen, the believer continues to exercise faith. "It shall truly and certainly be." And faith waits and expects the fulfillment of God's promises. When do you know that the Lord has heard, or maybe better, answered your prayer? Can you feel that in your heart? Can you experience that the Lord hears your prayer? Well, not per se. The Heidelberg Catechism compares the certainty of God hearing prayer with the desire that is in the heart of a believer that the Lord answers his prayer. Prayer is even more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. You can have a strong desire that the Lord hear your prayer which you send to the Lord, a prayer that is according to his word. And yet, this desire is not always so strong. Sometimes you pray, you don't feel any desire at all. At times you can be shocked by the insensitivity of your heart. This can be a complaint of someone. I don't feel a desire for the fulfillment of God's promises. You continue to pray, but it is without any emotion. And then we say that we pray with our mind, but not with our heart. By saying this, we actually mean that we lack emotion. When you don't feel anything, it does not automatically mean that you don't pray from the heart. The opposite can be said as well. You can be very emotional. You can have the feeling that the Lord will hear your prayer, but it may be nothing more than feelings. There is affection which is not caused by faith. We should keep in mind that though true faith has an affectional side and is not apart from emotions, yet faith does never end in our affections. A trait of true faith is not that it longs for spiritual affections, but that it ends in God and in his word. True faith seeks assurance outside self in God and in the God-given Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the operations of the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And spiritual affections arise from God's word and are caused by the Holy Spirit and end up in God and not in self. And again, there is no true faith without affection. But it is not always the same, and it never ends in it. True faith always seeks God. And at times a believer can be without affection. He can wonder if he has ever really believed, since all spiritual affections have faded away. What is left? Luther would say, God's naked word, which is God's promise alone. And that's the only thing a believer can plead on. And you must know that this is more than sufficient. More than you have affection. And we should never forget that faith also has an objective side, so that you can examine yourself, whether you deceive yourself, whether your affections are from the Spirit or from the devil. Spiritual affections can be examined by the standard of his word. So we should not focus on our feelings and emotions. And again, there is no true faith without affection. At times the affection can lack for several reasons. There can be so many reasons why the experience of faith is lacking. That can be because of certain circumstances. Maybe your senses are dulled, and this may affect your spiritual affections as well. Maybe you are going through a deep valley because of many concerns. Maybe you feel lonely, cold, and dark inside. You can suffer from a depression. Spiritual affections can be upside down. It can be that you experience that prayer does not reach farther than the ceiling. Maybe you cannot even pray. You have a hard time to structure your thoughts. Maybe you are easily distracted during prayer. And you wonder, how can God ever hear my prayer? Let alone answer my prayer. Do your feelings tell anything about God hearing prayer? No. Since God hearing your prayer does not depend on you or on your affections, but on God Himself, on His faithfulness and on His own work. The hearing of prayer is certain. It is secure, since it is secure in God. Answer 129 is very accurately worded. My prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel. That is the language of faith that does not rely on your own experiences, but on God's infallible word. Faith seeks security away from self in the Lord God. Faith rests on God's objective word and not on subjective feelings. No, personal experiences are not worthless. They matter. But not for God to hear prayer. The answering of prayer depends on the reliability of God's word. And how reliable is God's word? Do you know the answer? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has shed His blood for deceitful people to the glory of God, to glorify the faithfulness of God's word. And faith perceives more than the physical eye. Faith hears more than the physical ear. Faith does not depend on circumstances, but clings to God's word. And for this reason, faith says Amen to conclude prayer. Faith pleads God's word. Faith expects God to hear and answer prayer. Faith goes beyond affection. Faith rests on God's word and on God's self. Can you relate to this? Have you learned in principle to say Amen? Who of us does not need to feel ashamed since we so easily say the word Amen, thoughtlessly, without expectation, or even in unbelief? The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. And I think we may even ask the Lord, teach me to say Amen. May the Spirit work faith and repentance in my heart and life. And all those who have learned to say Amen have also learned to wait on the Lord to fulfill His promises. And this leads me to the close of our study of God's Word with the help of the Heidelberg Catechism. We come to a close. The instruction we heard in 52 Lord's days require a response. We could say that God's revelation demands an answer. And the answer is given by God's Word itself. It is the Amen, which soon will be shouted by God's church as the final Amen. When will that be? When the Lord Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. And then prayer will continue in adoration. With Jesus' second coming, there will be perfect harmony and peace in heaven and on earth. And there will only be praise and adoration. There will be an everlasting Amen, an everlasting praises to God. And those who have learned to say Amen to God's promising word may expect that the day to come soon. The Belgian Confession closes with that expectation. Guy de Debrest says, therefore we expect a great day with a most ardent desire to the end that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And until that time, the Lord has given His church a pledge. And this pledge is His benediction given to His church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is His yea and amen given to His church. It is His promise which He continually gives to His church. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Or, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And at the close of the Holy Scriptures, we read His benediction via His Apostle John. We need grace, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe God's promises. We need grace to expect all from Him. We need grace to conclude our prayer with Amen. We need grace to answer His word with our Amen. What is your answer to the word preached? If you don't answer with a believing Amen in this lifetime, then you will say your Amen at His second coming. The difference is whether you say it freely, in jubilee, because you got to know Him to be trustworthy, or you say it reluctantly, gnashing your teeth, since you did not repent in this lifetime. How will you say Amen? The Lord says to you, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come, my friend, and venture to say Amen. You will never regret if you venture to say Amen to His word, since Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. He is the Amen, the Alpha and the Omega. Salvation is secure with Him. What is the answer of your soul. Amen, divine gospel. Amen, does my soul say. Amen.